David Clark, minister of Central Christian Church in Beloit, Wisconsin, was invited to speak at a conference at Lincoln Christian University. That's the university that I went to. He was invited to come and tell us his story, how the church that he went to a town in Beloit, Iowa, 45,000 people, how the church was like from 200 in attendance went to thousands in 25 years. And people wanted to know really the secret to his success. What happened that, you know, that church and even the town was really, he said the town, it was known because that's where people go, like businesses will go there just to die. And the church was no different. The church was about to die, but something happened. And people were trying to ask David, tell us what's going on. I mean, what is the secret of your success? And David, because it was in 2007, I was there that day when he was speaking. He said he got uncomfortable when people would approach him and talk to him about success. He said, people, you know, like, I don't like to talk about this thing, this church thing, as a way of success. Like, what really happened was that I broke. He said, you know, I finally broke and said, Lord, I'm clueless. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know how I'm going to lead these people. And I began praying, and, you know, I just broke before the Lord, and things began to happen, he said. Only broken hearts find the heart of God, he said. And, you know, he said, I broke to the point that I took all the leadership team and said, you know, it's not just the preacher who needs to be broken here. You guys need to be broken too. And so he said, I took my staff to a hotel one time, and we're going to spend time here. And we gathered at the table and we said, guys, we're not going to live here until we break before God and find out what he wants us to do. And things began happening. And then the pastor broke. The leadership broke, and the whole church was broken before God, because he said brokenness is good because only broken hearts find the heart of God. And then he also said, when you get your heart well broken, he said, and it melts, it fuses with the heart of God, then you will have a heart for lost people. And he said, later on in that town, they began to feed the hunger, to do things. Wherever there was a need, they began to meet that need. Amazing what God can do when we break before him. Broken hearts, he said. And I never forget, 2007, I had taken some of the deacons and elders. We went to the conference. The conference name was Leading Your Church to Be a Missional Community. And they just invited a man to share the story of the church, how that church was really, truly being a missional in their community. And everything started because there was brokenness. And he found the heart of God. Now, there's a text in our Bible that you really want to know what the heart of God is. I'm going to show it to you this morning. Luke chapter 15. We are so familiar, many of us are familiar with that passage, but we don't realize God's heart is right there. And how many times I preached sermon from Luke 15 and I never saw it until, like, there it is. I know what God is passionate about. I know now his heart. Luke 15, you got your Bibles. Let's spend some time there. We're just going to cover verses 1 through 7. You see, in Luke 15, we talked about, I told Ryan that I would like that song, Jesus, Friend of Sinners. I had a Jewish friend one time challenge me and said, Jesus wasn't a friend of sinners. You're just making that up. And say, I can show him the Bible. It says right there, he was accused of being a friend of sinners. And I show him, and then he stopped accusing me. But Jesus, Friend of Sinners, Jesus was being accused by the religious elite, by the religious leaders of those days, that he spent time with tax collectors and sinners. And you see that in Luke 15, verse 1. It's interesting, during his ministry, tax collectors and sinners will gravitate towards Jesus. They would just go where he was. For some reason, they had the need, they were desperate, and they saw somebody in Jesus that showed compassion, that would love them for who they were. Now, you know, in those days, religious leader, if you were a Jewish rabbi, there was a law that you only ate with people who weren't like you. If you were a Jewish rabbi, you eat with people who are rabbis. That's why when you read the story of Matthew, who do you think Matthew invited for the party? All the tax collectors like him. So it's backwards to see Jesus hanging out with those people. Because he's not a tax collector and you're not a sinner. It's like, why? What are you doing with them? And then Jesus had to explain repeatedly to people why he chose to hang out with tax collectors and sinners. Well, let's just go to our text this morning so you see what's going on. Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners, tax collectors, I mean, the word just said, they were the one that you had to pay the taxes. IRS, right there. So you had, you know, tax collectors, nobody liked those people. So now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. That's Jesus. Now, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and say, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need repentance. I always tell people when I teach the Bible, pay attention. Every time that the religious leaders are mad at Jesus, there's a lot for us to learn from Jesus there. Because Jesus did not fit the mold, the expectations of some of the religious people. I mean, because they would not hang out with tax collectors and sinners, but tax collectors and sinners were the main audience of Jesus. They gravitated toward Jesus. And you see that example here. And of course, who's muttering? Who's like complaining about what Jesus is doing over those people? The religious leaders. And finally, Jesus had to tell the story to illustrate to them why he does that. I mean, at one time he says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And I have come to seek and save what was lost." He tells the story of this shepherd. I mean, he said, suppose one of you loses you have 100 sheep and you lose one. Don't you leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost sheep? And when you find it, you rejoice and, I mean, you celebrate. One of the things we need to understand about the heart of God when I look at Luke 15 is that God has a heart for lost people. Now, I know some people might not want us to give him that title, but the thing is, without Jesus, you and I really lost. There are people out there, they don't even know they're lost yet. You know how it is when you've been traveling to a place that you think you know where you are, and the GPS is going crazy telling you recalculate. You think you got, you think you know where you're going, but you're truly lost. There are people in our society like that. They don't know they're lost yet. So God has this heart for sinners, for lost people. And you see, according to the parable, from the get-go, God has been in the pursuing people that are without him, pursuing lost people. I mean, look at this. Shepherd left the 99. It's like, I got to go. And he embarked himself in this journey to find it until he finds it. He was looking for it. And when he found it, man, at a joyous occasion to celebrate because I have found my lost sheep. You know, God's been pursuing people from the beginning. The moment that mankind failed God, he says, I'm going to go get him. I mean, to the point, I mean, you see how much God has loved you and pursued you that he himself became a man to come to this little planet of ours? It's little because when you look at the other galaxy, I mean, we're just nothing. And it's like, I mean, David said, when I look at you heavens, the stars, the moons that you set in place, what is man that you are mindful of them? The Son of Man that you, I mean, we're nothing. And you still care for us to the point that you decided, I'm not going to send anybody else. I'm going to go myself. God became a man in his pursuing us, sinners. I mean, that's how much he loved lost people. God has a passion for lost people. And you see that through the story of the lost sheep. Lost people matter to God, and if we find the heart of God, lost people should matter to us as well. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. In other words, Jesus is already telling us why he came. The reason he came, because we were lost without him. It's like Michael W. Smith has a song, "I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you," because yes, without Christ, you and I would be lost. And he came to pay the penalty of our sins. We remember that through communion, that we are the ones sinners. We should have been the one nailed to that cross, and he took our place. That's how much God loves sinners. And that's why he will spend time with them, hang out with them, to rescue them. He saw them and he came to save them. Now, one of the things that shocked me, one of the things that was like, it just opened my eyes even more when I was reading this parable, is the other verse when he says that, verse 6, he goes home and then calls his friends and neighbors together and said, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And then Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people that don't need to repent." Like, we're talking about what makes you happy. You know, we all have different opinions about what would make you happy. I'd be happy the Cubs win the World Series, but it looks like they might not make it. You know, but you know, you have several things that will make you happy. Like, but the question is, what makes God happy? And I found that right here. Like, what makes God tickle and just like thrill about something that happens? You see, heaven goes crazy over a sinner that repents. Did you catch that? Jesus said, "I tell you, there's more," check it out, using our English language, "more rejoicing of one sinner that comes than 99. So it's more joyous for God that one sinner comes than a whole bunch of church people gathered together. Are you with me still? There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who is found than 99 people that have already been found. And you know how many times I preached that? I was like, oh my word, here it is. Here's the heart of God spelled out for us, that he loves lost people, and he's after them. And heaven goes crazy over one sinner that repents. It makes God in heavenly so happy when sinners are found, when lost people are found. Now, God spoke through Ezekiel several times, the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament. And in Ezekiel 18:23, God's talking about it. It says, "Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord? And not rather that he should turn from his way and live?" This is what brings me pleasure, when people turn to me and come to me. You see, God doesn't delight when people die without him. But you see, as God, as powerful as he is, he's still expecting people to come to him. And he's telling the prophet, look at the other, in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. "Say to them," he's talking to the prophet, "to tell this to the house of Israel, as I live, declares the Lord, Yahweh Elohim, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel?" God's delight is that people turn to him, that people come to him. God's heart is that people find Jesus. Now, the word turn to me, is, we have a church word called repentance. Jesus said that there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents, who turns. Repentance, I love what Pastor Mark in New Door Christian Academy is talking to them about. He said, repentance is this, you're going this way. If you repent, doesn't mean that you just stop. That's not repentance. You go in this way, you say repent, and you become neutral. He says, that's not even repentance. Repentance is this. You go in that way, and you realize like, oops, and then you go the opposite. That's repentance. You were going this way, and now you're, because you've left God behind, and you become neutral, that's not going to help you anything. You go in this way, you realize that's the wrong way. You repent, and you go the opposite. 180, that's truly repentance. And God's telling the Israelites, turn to me, come back to me. You were going and worshiping idols. Come back to your true love. Repentance, the definition is feeling sorry for something, but you only feel sorry right here. It's like, oh, I'm so miserable. It's not going to help you. You have to do something about it and go the opposite direction that you were heading. There's more rejoicing in heaven, Jesus said, over one sinner who does that, than 99 people that already done it, than 99 that don't need to repent, he says. Now, like I said, do you want to really know what makes God happy? I think as believers, we should all know what, I mean, because if we're worshiping this God, we should know what makes him tickle, what makes him excited. You know what makes God excited? Sinners that come to him. Lost people, when they're found, he says that he throws a party in heaven. The angels, everybody rejoice. There's more rejoicing. Yeah, there's some rejoicing about some things we do, but there's more rejoicing in heaven, he says, over one that comes to Christ. When somebody finds Jesus, when somebody repents, that's what truly makes God happy. And you see, God has a heart for lost people, and it's evident in the party that they throw in heaven when somebody comes to Jesus. Now, my friend, so many churches have not found the heart of God because what makes us happy is not really what makes God happy. So many churches have not found the heart of God because we get happy about trivial things that we do when we're not even concerned about lost people. And God's happiness is when lost people are found. What are you excited about? I know for some of us, we get excited about some of the activities. Maybe a community day, that was good. But you think God's not that excited about that. Let me just give it to you right now. You know why God would be really tickled about the whole thing? Is somebody found Jesus through that event. But sometimes in church we get excited and like we only invite people to a particular event and we forget about inviting them even to come and hear God's word. Why did they find Jesus that day? I think that's why all through America a lot of people haven't found the heart of God because we just go through so many things, but we're not concerned about those people. Sometimes we become a subculture like us. We're comfortable with us because we communicate, we speak the same languages. We don't want, and that's not God's heart, my friends. His heart is for lost people. We're here to be strengthened one another, but our mission field is the moment we step out of this soul shaker, the mission field is out there. Lost people that need to find Jesus. And when they find the Lord, there's a party in heaven. There's more rejoicing over one than 99 that just don't need it. And I think, my friends, we need to get that through our head. No wonder Dave Clark says, when your heart melts with the heart of God, then you too will have a heart for lost people. If you don't care about lost people, it's because you don't know the heart of God. If you and I don't care about lost people out there, we have not found the heart of God. Because the heart of God is when sinners are found. When people repent and they make a transition from death into life. And they say, you know, I need Jesus. And heaven goes crazy, man. The things that make you and I happy sometimes might not be the things that make God happy. And I think we need to switch that around. I want to be happy with what makes God happy. Because perhaps what's making me happy and tickle in church, it's not really what makes God happy. You know what I'm talking about? And so finding the heart of God is finding out what really makes him excited. And we already know what makes God crazy when lost people are found. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner, man, just one, than 99 people gathered together. Our hearts, my friends, need to melt, to fuse with the heart of God. And then we're going to have this passion, this desire for lost people. We're going to be like Jesus. We're going to start hanging out with them because we realize that they need Jesus. No, they didn't feel threatened by Jesus. And sometimes church don't get it because it's not that you have to become sinner like they are to hang out with them. But Jesus did not become a sinner with them. He ate with them. And Jesus sometimes had to confront, like the woman in adultery. Jesus didn't say, well, you're okay. He said, go and sin no more. But she still came to him. Because, you know, Jesus said, the Bible says that people gravitated because Jesus saw them and they looked like sheep without a shepherd. And there's so many people out there that God's utilizing you and I to be the shepherds of those people so that they can find Jesus. And then when they find Christ, man, there's more rejoicing in heaven when they find him. Our our hearts need to melt with the heart of God, and then we're going to be passionate about lost people. Like I said, we bring that to our context. Let's be, if our excitement through our year is only because we have a Travis Community Day or the 4th of July, if that's what's only making you excited, I feel sorry for you. Or because we have a yard sale, that's good. But that's not what makes God excited. You don't understand what I'm saying? You know what makes God excited? When somebody comes, when Sheldon was baptized, God was throwing a party. When Mike decided, I want Jesus and I want to be baptized, heaven went crazy. And if you and I are not crazy about that today, then there's a problem with us. Because that's the heart of God when those people say, I want Jesus and, all this time nobody told me about baptism and I want him. And they came. Staten Island Christian Church, the heart of God is those baptisms we have had. That's what makes God excited. Not any other activities that we can create or any other activity that we have. God doesn't care about that. Unless that through that activity you can find somebody and tell Jesus about that. But we're going to continue doing activities. Nobody come to Christ. You see, I talked to Keith Cantor about the Metro Christian Convention. I might not even go this year. Because all he told me about when he called me yesterday, I was like, the fellowship. So we're going to have a whole bunch of Christians just hanging out. I don't need fellowship. I got fellowship in my ball field and here too. And it's like, God, I said, I would like to go to a conference because I want to be equipped. I want to be challenged to the point that I know now what I need to go and do. And I told him, my first priority is my family. My kids are going into things. That's my first church. And he understood that when I told him. But I feel sorry for him. It's like, you want to spend $5,000 just to get a whole bunch of people in a day to hang out? And you think God's saying, like, whoa, look at my church. When I see people being more committed through Christ, through the convention, when I see people really saying, we got lost people coming to Christ, that's what makes God happy. He's not excited with some of the things that we do. And church, please, hear me out. We need to, finding the heart of God is when sinners come to Christ. And whatever we're doing in church, it's not producing sinners to repent. We got to start changing some things around. And if this is my last sermon that I will preach, just hear me out, because we need to find the heart of God. And it cannot just be the minister and the elders. All of us have to be in there, because all of you are ambassadors for Christ. And there's lost people that we know, and they need Jesus. When my heart melts with the heart of God, and when your heart melts and fills with the heart of God, then you too will have a heart for lost people. I remember this one of the oldest professors that I had in college. Everybody thought that he should retire because he was so old. And Doc Henderson, we used to call it Doc, was still teaching Life of Christ, and he was teaching Revelation. He was teaching also Greek. And everybody's like, Doc, you've been here since when the school was an institute, then it became a college, and now it became a university. You being like, and one time he's preaching, he was in tears. He said, you know why I'm still doing this? Because I love God. And if I love God, I'm going to love people. He found the heart of God. Because when you find the heart of God, David said, he will keep you up at night. When you find the heart of God, like, you cannot sleep. And it's like, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Like, there are people that need to hear about you, and I'm here for them. You want to find the heart of God? The heart of God is so obvious. It's for sinners when they come. When your heart melts with the heart of God, then you and I will also have this passion for lost people. And if you're not passionate about them, then you have not found the heart of God. As simple as that is. Casting Crown says it, Jesus, friend of sinners, break my heart for what breaks yours. I think, my friends, that might be the prayer of many of us, perhaps, this morning. For Jesus, because it might be uncomfortable. It might keep you up at night when he breaks your heart, when you have to break yourself before God. Say, Lord, I'm clueless, but I know that you want me here for a reason. Show me, and then he will show up. David Clark says, when there's no brokenness, I don't even think God show up, he said. And it was like, when you're stuck, he says, stuck is really bad, he said. But when there's brokenness and you find the heart of God, then you're going to have this passion for people. And we're talking on Sunday morning about how you approaches you can use. Invite people to things. Invite them to church. Invite them to, come and see. relational approaches you can utilize. Because God's pursuing lost people, and He's doing it now through you and I. Really, that's our mission. Now, how often we as church are just concerned with what makes us happy as a church? How often we as a church, we're just concerned, we're like, well, this is what we've always done. And we don't even remember, or we tend to ignore really what makes God happy. Because if what we've done for many years is not making God tickle, then let it go. And find out what really makes Him happy and go with it. Do you realize that God does not save you, or you do not exist here to be happy? You know, the Americans tell you that you're the pursuit of happiness. Do you realize that you are not here to be happy? We are here to make Him happy. We are here to give Him unprecedented glory with our existence. That's the last phrase in my outline. So I realized, God did not create me to be happy. He created me so that with my existence, I can make Him happy. That with what I do in this world, He can be happy. Because somebody say, mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And to me, I want that to be my Lego. If God ain't happy with me, I don't care what, you can be mad at me, I don't care. But I want God to be happy. If God ain't happy, church, ain't nobody happy. And I think our job will be to make Him, to bring Him all the glory with everything that we do as a church, with everything we do as an individual. Because that's why we've been created. The song, they declare the glory of God. What are you and I declaring today? He's so happy when sinners repent. When one say, I want Jesus, and heaven goes crazy. I want to go crazy when that's the passion that God has. I want that to be my passion for as long as God has me preach on this earth. I want that to be my goal as an individual, as a preacher, as a husband. I mean, just make God happy with how I'm living for Him.